you're looking for work to do to show your love for God and for your community, it's a perfect opportunity to come out and practice sharing the gospel as well and edifying one another. I mean, it's good for all of those things we've been talking about. So I want to encourage everybody to be here Saturday morning from 9 to 11. And if you can come out this week and help us prepare for that, that'd be great. My second announcement, I don't know why this came as kind of a surprise to me, but one of our college students approached me and said, I'd like to place membership. And I said, yeah, that should be happening, right? I mean, I think we treat all of our college students as if they were members already, but for one to want to identify and make that known to the rest of us, that should let us know that he's holding us to the same standard. He wants us to know that we're responsible for him, and he knows it. So Kevin Pacelli wants to make that public, and also Haley Stiles also wanted to do the same thing. So two new members on the list of members. So be sure to love on them. Let them know that you're proud of them. Now, yesterday was a holiday where a lot of spooky stories are told. And I've got a spooky story. It was a dark and stormy night. Now, you know where it's going already? No, you don't. It was a dark and stormy night, and there was a blackout. Our power went out, and I couldn't see anything. I fumbled my way to the closet where I keep my candles, because I always want to have a candle and open flame when the lights go out, and it fits better in this story. Anyway, I get to my candle closet, and I light four candles, and I grab one, and I turn around to take it out, and I hear a small voice. And it says, no, wait, I'm not ready. I look around, I'm kind of shocked. Where's this voice coming from? Is it one of my children? I can't really see anything. So I say, who said that? And the voice comes again, I did, don't take me, I'm not ready. It's coming from my hand. And I look down, there's a little face in the wax. It says, don't take me, I'm not ready to go out there yet. And I say, what do you mean? You're a candle. You're supposed to light the darkness for me. I need you to come out here with me. And he says, don't take me out of this room. I need more time to prepare. See, I know I'm a light, but you don't understand. If I go out there, you don't understand what kind of awkward glow I'll give off if I'm not adequately prepared, if I'm not trained in how to glow properly. So I said to myself, okay, that's all right. I'll just blow you out and pick one of the other four candles I've lit. And before I did, I heard the other voices come up say, no, not us. We're not ready either. We're not going anywhere. I turned to one of the candles and said, you know, why won't you come out with me? And he said, well, I am not really a light. I can't give off light. I like to meditate on the light and think about the light. It's very enlightening. So just leave me here in the closet lit up, and I'll stay in here. And I turned to the third light, and I said, will you come out? Will you come out and light the darkness for me? He said, no, I'm kind of melted on one side, and I'm not a perfect candle. I need to get my life together before I go out there and try to light the way for you. I'd hate to burn your fingers. I'd hate to do something wrong. Just let me get everything perfect. Let me get everything right. Let me prepare myself before we go out. So I turned to the last one, and the last one had a sweet voice, and it said, no, I need to stay here. I'd like to help, but lighting the darkness is not my gift. My gift is singing. And it turned to the other candles, and it started singing, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine all around this big dark house. I'm going to let it shine. And I closed the closet and left the four singing candles to themselves because they would not come out. And I thought to myself, how absurd, how silly, These are candles. They're meant to light the darkness, but they're refusing to come out of the closet. So the question is, for me and for all of us, it's not which candle are you, because I don't want to suggest that we are not spreading the gospel at all, but which candle do you identify with? Which one do you struggle with? Which one of those excuses or reasons do you give when you're given the chance to shine a light in the darkness? If you're a new Christian or you're visiting, it might be the excuse that, you know, I've got to get my life together first. I can't go out there the way I am. I need God to work on me a little bit longer before I go out and be a light. Or if you've been a Christian for a while and maybe you've forgotten the power of the gospel and you've stumbled upon the immensity of God's love and you're just so confused that you think to yourself, no, I've got to study more so that I'm more prepared because they might ask me doctrinal questions when I'm out there. I can't go out there and be a light because I'm not ready. I need to study more. Or maybe sometimes I find myself identifying with the light that says, I need to meditate on this a little longer. I need to get more out of it. I need to understand what this light is a little more before I go out and share it with others. Or maybe, since we've been talking about benevolence and the good build, maybe you're like that last light who says, I know what my gift is, and I'm going to stay here and practice my gift. And your light never shines to anyone. The problem is that the world is dark, and we cannot remain in a closed closet while the world goes on in darkness. As we allow God to transform our lives, we are to be lights. As we gain knowledge and wisdom through the scriptures, we are to be lights. As we build one another up, we are to be lights to the world. And I've said this before, if you know enough to become a Christian, you know enough to be a light. Think about Matthew. I thought about Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. He says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. This world is dark, and it needs light. And we have a light in our earthly vessels, our jars of clay. We carry this great treasure, this great power that is the gospel within us. We must not keep that light closeted up. We must not do it with the excuse that we need to prepare ourselves. And we do sometimes do that so long that we kind of forget what the gospel message is. We get so bogged down in details, and we get so bogged down in having to know everything precisely right, that we forget what the good news is. Last week we talked about the good spill a little bit. Evangelism. That word, that big word that means the good news. And we discussed a little bit about what the good news is. It's a message of reconciliation with God and our salvation. It's the message best summed up by the message of the cross. And if you want to flesh it out, it's best told by the story that you find in the Bible, the entirety of the Bible. And it's best experienced in your heart and in your life. But before I begin to wax eloquent on what the gospel can do for you, I'd like to get back to the basics. 1 Corinthians 2. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters, when I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. This is Paul, the apostle, the great apostle that wrote so many of the books of the New Testament. And he's telling the Corinthians, I didn't come to you with eloquence or human wisdom. That's not what it's about. In fact, I did that so that the power of God could be seen. Verse 2, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you. He was a smart guy. He was educated by the smartest teachers in the day. But I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Let's get back to the basics. Let's forget our perfect delivery methods and the perfect words that we need to have and the perfect answers that we need to get just right. Let's get back to the basics and just know Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Today I want to take a break from describing this idea of what the gospel is and its power, this idea of how the gospel is used, and answer the question, what is the good news? What is this message? Now, we say it all the time. We talk about it all the time in so many different ways because there's so many different aspects and points of view to look at it from. And because there are so many, we say to ourselves, well, we don't know how to deliver it. So today we're going to look at maybe some ways that we can find a practical way for you, for me, to deliver the message of the gospel in a way that fits you, in a way that is true to the gospel as well. We say it in our songs, we were lost and now we're found. That's gospel. There's more to it than that, right? But that's the gospel message. You can remember the gospel message from the words of that song. We were once lost and now we're found. We say Christ died in our place. That's the gospel message. But if you want an expanded version of the good news, I'm going to share it now. And I'm going to be a little bit repetitive, but it's okay. Because as we share the gospel, it should be the same message over and over. No matter what the words we use, the good news is always the same. The good news is that God loves us so much that while we were still sinners and enemies of God, He sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to live among us. While we were still sinners and enemies of God, He sent His Son, His only Son, Jesus Christ, to live among us in a sinful world. The good news is that while we were still sinners and enemies of God, Jesus Christ suffered physically, spiritually, emotionally for us. The good news is that while we were still sinners and enemies of God, Christ gave up His life and died on a cross. The good news is that while we were still sinners and enemies of God, Jesus Christ took on our punishment for us. The good news is that while we were still sinners and enemies of God, Jesus Christ was buried. He took on our punishment and our sins. The good news is that while we were still enemies of God, while we were still sinners, Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. The good news is that while we were still sinners and enemies of God, the Creator God that reigns over all creation, God sent His Son to die, to be buried, to be raised for us, and He reigns now at the right hand of God. That is the good news, that we are no longer slaves of sin, that we no longer are enemies of God. We no longer have death and destruction to look forward to. He did all this to offer freedom from death. He did all this to offer freedom from sin. He did all this to offer freedom from condemnation, to offer us reconciliation with God. That means we were estranged from Him, but God sent His Son so that we could be reconciled to Him, that we could come back to Him. The good news is that God offers us the gift of salvation. And that is good news. Have we forgotten the good news? Have you forgotten the good news? Do you need to take time daily and reflect on what that good news is? Not just how big God is, but that He was willing, as big as He is, to come down to this earth and care enough to give Himself up for you. That's good news. And if it affected you once, allow it to affect you again. If you're not thinking about it daily, think about it daily. Reflect on it. That's the gospel message. It's this, and like I said, it can be told in so many different ways with so many other words. And we learn more about what the gospel means as we mature as Christians. And as we find out about its depth and its breadth, I think that's when we have the tendency to lose our focus, our grasp on what it is exactly, because it's so big. And we forget the simplicity of it. We feel overwhelmed because we want to get the delivery just right. Or we feel overwhelmed because it's just so huge, this thing that our God did. And we focus on that, how overwhelmed we are. We focus on ourselves, really. We get in the way of the gospel in that way, so much that we forget what the gospel message is. We forget that we must keep it at the forefront of our minds. We're reminded of that in 2 Timothy 4:2, when Paul told Timothy, "Preach the word. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season." That means be prepared always. Do not forget the word, the message, the good news, the gospel message. No matter what time it is, don't allow your finite resources to restrict the gospel message. Don't you, Timothy, get in the way of the gospel message. Don't let it contain the power of the gospel. Being prepared is important for us. It's important for us as Christians. It's important for God to get the glory. And it's important for the salvation of those in the world, in this dark world. So I want to suggest today a couple of ideas that might help us remember the message in season and out of season. Both require effort. You know what? I'm going to give you three. I'm just thinking of one now. Come to church. I mean, it's soaked. Our worship service is soaked in the gospel message. Look for it. You'll see it if you're ready to see it. If you're thinking to yourself right now, what am I going to say when I go out into the dark world? How am I going to deliver the message? Think about how often and how many different ways you hear the gospel message when you're here at church. The other one, the two that I want to talk about this morning. I want to suggest that you can find verses, single verses or short passages in the Bible that give the gospel message briefly and can act in such a way as to jumpstart your delivery in the gospel message, to help you remember exactly what the gospel message is all about. I've listed some of the references here. And there are some from the New Testament. And there's one particularly that I liked. It was from the Old Testament, in Isaiah 53:5. "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed." That's the gospel message in the Old Testament. You didn't think it was there, did you? It's all over Scripture. I like that verse. "By his wounds we are healed." By our God's wounds, who loves us enough, we are healed. And last week we talked about the verse in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 5. It says, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, and on which you have taken your stand." I want to remind you. Let that sink in a little bit. These were Christians who Paul's speaking to. They need reminding. So do we. As we travel on our Christian journey, we need to be reminded of what the gospel message is from time to time. So don't listen to me today and say, "I already know all of that." Take it as a reminder, just in the same way that Paul gives this reminder. Verse 2, "By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as first importance." Here it is. "That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12." And he goes on to list other people he appeared to. He's giving them proofs and evidences in his own life and in the Scriptures. This is preaching Christ and Him crucified, according to Paul. We need to know that even Christians need reminders. I want to encourage you this week, as you go into this dark world, to focus on the gospel message. I want you to take some time to look through some verses that you can put into your heart so that the Spirit can bring them up when you need them. I want you to consider putting the gospel message into your own words, not to change the gospel message, but consider what it is and decide what words you would use to deliver the good news to someone else. Now, when we do this, a lot of times when we try to go into this book that has 66 other books in it, and we try to narrow it down like we do with these one verse statements, but we try to use our own words, we get bogged down in trying to say, I'm going to deliver the gospel message, and I've got to go through Leviticus first so that they understand that part. I've got to make sure they understand all the prophecies as I'm delivering the message. I want to encourage you to try to, as you're coming up with this thing in your own words, I want to give you a challenge, I guess it is, a challenge to try to get the gospel into 10 words or less. It forces you to know what the gospel message is. And when you get those 10 words, your own 10 words, you'll find that they apply to your life and how the gospel affected you. That's how God uses us as lights. We are individually different, but we carry the same light. And as we shed light on others, it needs to come from us. It needs to come through us, I should say. So that means we're going to have to use our own words. So take some time to do this. Narrow it down to 10 words or less. Something that can stick in your head or the head of a loved one who you're speaking to about the gospel. And then once you get those 10 words, you can expand that to a couple of sentences. You can expand that if they have a question about it. If you make it provocative enough, people will ask questions. What do you mean? I like some of these here that I wrote down. This was a challenge that actually the Christian Century, a magazine, put out to some of their Christian authors to narrow the gospel message down to 7 words. These are some of them that they came up with. The wall of hostility has come down. Doesn't that make you want to ask questions? Now you know what it means. The wall of hostility between us and God. We've been reconciled to God. We know what it means. And we can go from there. But it takes a while to get to that point in your own mind. How about divinely persistent? God really loves us. Yes, He's shown His love to us. Though we sin over and over again, God is persistent enough and willing to do what it takes to bring us back to Him. God, through Jesus Christ, welcomes you anyhow. Despite the fact that we were still sinners and enemies of God, we were welcomed by Christ, by that offer. In Christ, God calls us all to reconciliation. I like those. But I'm going to take up the challenge too. I'm going to try to come up with a 10-word gospel message for you next week. That's going to be my whole sermon. Just kidding. I'm going to try to come up with it. So I want to challenge you guys to do the same thing. And as you consider how to accomplish that task, you might notice that the good news, the strict good news that God is offering us this reconciliation, it begs the question, what is to be done about this message? What comes next? What do we do about this good news? And that's part two. That's part two of the gospel. Part one is God redeeming, God offering salvation. Part two is response, which we have little to do with. We're to be lights. We're to share the gospel. It's up to those in the dark world to come to the light. We have little to do with how they respond. Now, we can talk and we can do all kinds of things, but it's God and that person who ultimately make the decision. We don't want them to make the decision because of who we are. We want them to make the decision because of what the gospel message is. Don't get in the way of the gospel. We have little to do with this. But here are some questions that come up naturally after hearing the gospel message. Do I believe it? Do you believe it enough to confess it? That Jesus, who died for our sins, was the Son of God and was raised. Are we willing to be rid of the sin and death and condemnation in our life? Do you repent and turn from that sin? Are you willing to accept the offer that God makes and join Christ, who has come into his kingdom and is reigning on high? You know what the question that is. Do you want to be baptized? Do you want to be in Christ? That is how you get in Christ. Will you live? Will you continue to live faithfully? If at any point you get the answer no, then the gospel message is ended. That's the end. It's no longer good news for that person once they say no. It becomes bad news. Because that what they're saying when they say no is, no, I do not accept the offer. Christ, God offers me salvation? No. How could that be good news, right? I'm turning my back on this. I would rather have sin, condemnation, and death. Thank you, please. I will have that. That's not good news. When we hear no, that is what comes up. I think this discussion frightens us, this part of it. Part two is what frightens us the most. And we stay in our closet away from the dark world. But we need to remember that we are light carriers and good news bringers. The good news is what God does for us. And the response is what the sinner does about it. They can accept or they can refuse. And hopefully they're not refusing. Hopefully they're waiting. Hopefully they're being worked on. But I think we should be prepared for the response portion, this part two of the gospel as well. But if you're not, you can open your Bible with that person and study to find out what it is you do about the gospel message. You can bring them to a brother or sister who can answer those questions about salvation. But again, I say, if you've been a Christian, if you are a Christian, you know what to do. You know what needs to be done about the gospel message. We have a great treasure, the good news of Christ. Let's share it. If anyone here this morning needs to come forward, if you've forgotten what Christ has done for you and how he took your sins, he took your punishment on the cross so that you could live eternally with God in heaven. If you're struggling to live out the gospel, having once turned from your sins, you're finding yourself again entangled by that sin. Or if anyone here has any need, if you'd like to put on Christ in baptism and be a part of his kingdom, the offer is for you today. The offer is for you. Please come as we stand and sing.